Hey, everyone. Welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts, Ben and Seth. So we're investigative researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or usually won't report on. And then we share what we find with all of you here. Plus, we have a lot of fun in the process. Our co-host, Rob, can't join us tonight. So Ben and I are going to talk about the subject the two of us have been ready to get into all week. Have you noticed the New World Order police is ramping up its control? So first, right after the FBI said they don't like people calling their Mar-a-Lago search a raid, MSNBC changed their headline to take it out. And then the IRS got $80 billion out of our pockets, and they put out a job listing for a 24/7 on-call workers willing to use deadly force. We've also got some updates on the China-Taiwan situation as companies make their stance on whether they support the evil, evil CCP's brutality or freedom. And to top it off, the World Economic Forum is now modeling the CCP surveillance state by promoting AI control. Thanks, Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, seriously, Klaus Schwab right there. But if all this is freaking you out, don't worry. We have exclusive segments on Rise TV that are hopeful and hilarious. During the Dig Deep Q&A, you can ask us your personal questions and we'll get into deep discussions about the world, spirituality, and basically anything you want to know about us. Then we'll go over the top 10 weirder news of the week with everything from mysterious murders to insane lightning bolts to transhumanism and a giant stuffed bear caught by the police. So you don't want to
miss that one. It wasn't me, I promise.
Seth, were you hiding in a bear? But if you want access to all this and want to support our work, please subscribe to Rise.tv. For just $9.99 a month, you can help us to keep making great content and join our awesome live chats, which always makes us laugh. So let's get started with this Friday Night Live and talk about the New World Order Police, or the IRS, in other words.
All right. Hey, how's it going, Ben?
Good. How are you?
Good. So actually, so what's your shirt say?
It says 1976, forever free. And you have the same shirt on.
Man, that's just a coincidence. Yeah.
We did not plan this, honestly.
Ben, I just had some information pop up that some like breaking news about Mar-a-Lago I wanted to share with you. So this is actually, this is insane. Okay. This is from Ashley Munez who tweeted this. So it has been revealed that Donald Trump was housing a private server at Mar-a-Lago and hired a close associate to wipe it clean with computer software. The FBI also found government phones, which were being smashed to prevent evidence from being discovered. Just kidding, that was Hillary Clinton. I thought I'd share that with you.
Dude, that's exactly what she did. And then like all the, you know, and on top of the 33,000 emails that she accidentally deleted using her BlackBerry phone. And there was that famous photo with her using the phone on the flight. And it's like, it's all there, you know, hopefully Trump had all of this.
Well, did you hear though that so Elon offered $100 million to buy the FBI, but they're not sure if the Clintons are going to sell. So
that's a good joke, man. You should make that as a meme. That's pretty good.
It was a tweet I read. I'm not going to take credit for it. So anyway, so Ben, let's get into our personal highlights of the week. So what would you say your personal highlight was?
Well, actually, so this is kind of interesting. And actually, I just did a show yesterday by myself, and I'm just reading the headline, what's posted on Rumble. And it's like mind reading with Ben. And it looks like I'm doing something about reading other people's minds. And it really should say mind reading AI with Ben. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And I'm not doing like, yeah, anyway. But, you know, something really big happened today that, for me, this is awesome. And, you know, for Seth or for you, Seth, this may not really be.
I still thought it was pretty cool, actually.
What, the UFO? Okay. So you guys, since Rob and I started the show, we, I found out about this alleged photo that doesn't exist. I mean, the real photo has been hidden, and the MI6 have been a part of this whole thing. When we interviewed Nick Pope, I asked him, what's the craziest thing you have ever seen? And he's like, oh, this photo. And he was like describing the whole thing of what happened. And it was taken in Scotland in the 90s. And he's like, yeah, we have this photo in the office. And I was like, that's the craziest thing you've ever seen. You know, that's kind of funny. You can only find drawings of the original photo, which has been very deeply hidden. But today, the person who has the photo came out with it publicly, and you can see it now. We're going to do a show on this, so we're not really going to get too much into it. We decided, well, Rob,
can we see
Rob,
the photo?
Yeah, okay, Lindsay, why don't you show the photo at least? So
let me try to find it. I was saving it for next week, so I don't have it up. Let me look.
Yeah, it's on my Facebook page. I did post it on Facebook, and this is like, to me, this is the most exciting thing I think I can really say after doing Edge of Wonder almost. I mean, this is such a significant photo, and the significance of this, people don't even realize it. You know, maybe in like when you look at the image, you're just kind of like, okay, you know, but to me, this is way bigger than what the New York Times even put out with the Tic Tac UFO. Because of one, how clear it is, the story behind it.
I've never seen a more clear picture of a UFO.
Oh, than this one. You saw it.
Oh, yeah. I did. Okay. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
It is. It's 100 feet long, and it's diamond shaped. And the story is that these two guys were walking in Scotland, and they hear this noise, and they look above, and they just see this massive thing flying over the mountainside. And he took a photo of it, and there's a military jet that's following it. So we're going to get into all the details, I figured, on Tuesday, but this thing was so top secret, the MI6 got involved. And I guess according to Nick Pope, who was part of the MI6 for a while, this was like the most talked about photo or incident that happened within the MI6. And I scoured the dark net for like, you know, for the past year, well, for the first year I heard about it when we did Edge of Wonder, looking for this thing, and all you can find was a drawing. So the fact that it came out is very significant. But anyway, I was just like, I was so excited today. I was like, oh my gosh, I had a photo. It came out. Like, this is huge, and no media is going to report on it really. So that's, to me, it's like, this is the most significant thing that's happened in the last decade in the UFO community, and there's going to be silence in the media about it. So
of course
we'll get into it on Tuesday. Seth, what about you?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. One is that I put up a new chicken fence, which might seem kind of whatever, but it's actually this massive accomplishment. Because like I got our side property cleaned up. They had a couple acre pasture, put a fence up. But actually today I had to crawl under the chicken coop because one of my chickens got stuck in the corner somehow. And so I was like crawling through sawdust and chicken poop, which was not fun at all. Because yeah, chicken poop's not, it stinks. It's pretty crappy stuff. but you know, I would say that, you know, it was interesting because, you know, this week with the Mar-a-Lago stuff, the FBI, the IRS, all of this stuff going on at once, like it really hit me. Like it really sunk in where our country is at. And it's like, you can see the writing on the wall that they are backed into a corner and they are trying to really set up the structure, the people, for some sort of tyrannical overthrow of our country. Like, you can see it. Like, this isn't just, it's not normal what's happening. And of course, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time, but there's something, it got a lot deeper for me. And it really, it was much more of a visceral experience this week to understand that and to really realize it's like, man, like, these are some, we're already in some very, just some very trying times. So it was a very sobering, sobering, you know, thing for me to kind of just think about that. So.
Well, and that's what we're going to really talk about today. You know, the significant, I mean, this whole thing with the IRS is just mind blowing. I just can't even, I can't even wrap my head around, you know, like, this is really happening. I mean, you know, and if anybody that's just wants to ignore everything that's going on, this should be the biggest red flag in the last year, you know, aside from Trump being raided, what's really interesting, all of these things that we're going to be talking about today, you guys, really all go together, you know, and that's what I think, that's what the really shocking aspect of this, of what happened to Trump, what's really going on, why is the IRS, or why does Biden want to do this with the IRS, and really who are they going after, and what's the purpose of it? So why don't we just jump right into it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we might as well. Okay, so you were talking about that clip in the beginning of your you know, when we first came on, about the how the MSNBC changed on live television from calling it a raid to calling a search. I don't even know. Okay, why don't we play this clip, Lindsay?
Agents, by the way, don't like the word raid. They don't like it. It sounds like it's some kind of, you know, extrajudicial, non-legal thing. It's the execution of a search warrant. It's a court-authorized search warrant. I'm sure we're now going to be in for days of ranting and raving. Even at CPAC over the weekend, there was a congressman from Arizona who called for the defunding of the FBI before this even happened. So we're in for more of that. I'm sure they're hunkering down for that. But the word raid, they don't like it. They want to say they executed a search warrant. All of that going on, meticulous searching. Even, you know, I've seen situations where devices, electronic thumb drives, actually have dogs. I'm not.
So I just wanted to look up the definition of a raid right now. A raid is the execution of a search warrant. it's like, what's the difference?
Man, well, it's insanity. Like, I mean, it really is. It's like, you know, whether it, look, you know, maybe you've read 1984, or maybe you've seen the movie 1984,
or
any of these, you know, totalitarian, you know, V for Vendetta. Like, this is where we're at. Like, and the crazy thing is that there's been all this predictive programming through Hollywood and education and books that are being written, et cetera. But it's like, we're now there. And of course, you know, you think that, well, yeah, but it doesn't feel like V for Vendetta or 1984 because they painted a very accurate image of what that would be like in that specific novel or the movie. But if you take a step back and you look at the fundamental principles, it's like, if I were to ask you, Ben, is the media controlled by a tyrannical government and used as a propaganda organ, you'd say,
for sure. Like,
hands down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and it's all being modeled. I mean, this is like, I feel like China was kind of the guinea pig for carrying out everything that they're doing. For example, there's like over a billion people in China, right? So I feel that everything that is going on with World Economic Forum and what's happening over here and communism and all these things, I feel like China was kind of the test run for the rest of the world, because it's like, one, you have really deep spiritual rooted people there. I mean, there's more history in China than anywhere else in the world collectively. I mean, as like for I mean, they've got like
5,000 years of history. Yeah. It's like,
I mean, people can, you can, they can trace their lineage back by like 2,000 years. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah. My grandfather was like, you know, so-and-so 2,000 years ago. And it's like, dude, I don't even know who my grandfather was, you know, 400 years ago, let alone 2,000 years ago. So my understanding is that if they could do it there and really control people and destroy this culture that was rich in spirituality and in history and get people to change in that large amount of people, then it's like, okay, now we can implement this in the whole world. And then we will try to do this with the rest of the world. I think that a lot of what we're seeing in, you know, Australia and these other countries, Canada, especially, trying to do it, but it's like, if they can succeed with it here in the US, then it will be a lot easier to carry this out elsewhere in the world. And I think that, you know, we're starting to see the beginnings of what's going on with this.
Well, and the crazy thing is, actually, hey, Lindsay, do you mind looking up a fact for me? Can you just do a quick Google search for how many police are in America and how many sheriffs are in America, sure, if you don't mind? I should have looked at it beforehand, but like the crazy thing with this is that, like, we have the Constitution.
Right.
And the Constitution is this founding document that gives us our rights as citizens of America. That, and it was like one of the core functions of the Constitution was to protect us from tyranny. It's like the foresight that they had, right, in 1776, the foresight they had when going through this whole process is just incredible. So the fact that we have the Constitution, we have the Second Amendment, and there's so many people that are fighting for this. Okay, so how many sheriffs are there? Okay, so there's 3,000 sheriffs. I wonder how many policemen officers there are.
It's the reason for that one. It's kind of hard.
Lot. Yeah.
Yes. And the reason why I'm saying that is that, you know, we watched on FNL last week the video of the ATF agent, right, which is Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, you know, which is another three-letter agency like the IRS or the CIA, et cetera, that went to do like a gun search on this guy's home, and he called the police, and the police arrested the guy. And so, because that's constitutional, right? A sheriff has more power than a UN soldier coming in. You know what I mean? Or a sheriff has more power than an armed IRS agent, because that's how the Constitution works. So we're really, you know, we're entering into a really, I mean, interesting might be the right kind of word, but like we're entering into a time period where the fabric of our society, the Constitution, everything is going to be tested like it never has been before. And I think, though, and this is going back to the Mar-a-Lago raid, is I think that part of what it's like, what they want civil war. Like, they want destruction. And this is also another realization. Do you mind if I go on a little bit of a rant quickly?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So another realization I had recently, so I've been reading this book series called One Second After. And it's a book that was written by an ex-military guy, very historically accurate in terms of like how things would work out. And this is playing on the premise of if an EMP goes off, that basically like an EMP that went off in America would probably kill 70 to 90% of people within the first year. Like, it's like utter destruction and death, especially in the big cities.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is that you can see that like is that if the cabal wanted, or if the deep state wanted to actually take control over America, the best thing they can do is actually chaos, because chaos gives them the excuse for martial law. It gives them excuse to bring in 100%. Military. It gives them the excuse to do things that they would never do during peacetime. So it's like they want us to reach a boiling point. And I think this is one of the big reasons behind the Mar-a-Lago raid, because they want us as patriots, they know where our pressure points are. They, especially the whole IRS thing, like, they want us to be like, you know what? Like, I'm going to get my shotgun out. I'm going to defend my home. Like, they want things to explode, because if violence starts happening, it's the easiest thing for them to say, you know what? It's time for martial law. It's time for the military to come in. And if that doesn't work, they're going to say, you know what? Let's bring in the UN army. Let's bring in China, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what they want. They're trying to bait us into it.
There is a movie I'm trying to think, and I can't remember. There, I mean, it's actually quite in a lot of the dystopian movies kind of have the similar plot where it's like, I mean, Hitler did the same thing with the brown shirts. You create a scenario where there's chaos, like you were just talking about. And then it's like you come in as like the quote unquote savior, like, oh, we will handle this. We will straighten it all out, you know. And
this is Hegelian dialectic, right?
Yeah.
Problem, and reaction, solution.
Yeah. And people, I mean, most people just want to like have everything back to normal and just live their lives. You know, it's like, hey, great. I don't have to worry about this. Someone else is going to figure this out. You know, I mean, and it's like, I feel like this is what's even happening with inflation and gas prices. You know, it's like inflation is going up. And then Biden came out and said, oh, we had zero inflation this month. And it's like, we're supposed to be happy about that.
I know.
Okay. He's like, the gas price is the same way. They were like, you know, it was insane. And he's like, oh, we brought it down 40 cents. And then it's like, people on the left were happy about that. And it's like, dude, this is communism 101. They take everything from you. And it's like, here's a little bit of food. Oh, like, we're helping you. We're feeding you.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's like, wake up, people, you know, this, it's like, here, look, you know, I'm taking $5 from you, but here, I'll give you back $1.50, you know, and at least I'm giving you something, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, that we're all like, this is what's happening. And I think you're absolutely right about this. And it's scary. And it's scary if people don't wake up to the truth. I have been looking at a lot of like people on the other side, like more on the left, kind of, especially after Trump got raided. And of course, you know, you have your general people that are all happy and cheering about this, but I did find quite a few accounts too that people are starting to ask questions through this because they don't necessarily, these people are not really like Biden supporters. They're not necessarily like, you know, they don't like the other side. They're kind of like, everyone's bad, but it's like, wait a minute, you know, you did this to Trump, but you didn't do this to Hillary. And that's like a really good question that people are starting to ask now.
Actually, so Lindsay found the stat. She says, it looks like there's approximately 665,000 police and sheriffs in 2021. So again, you know, yeah, so they're hiring however many 80 some thousand IRS agents, but really, and this is why it's really important and for everyone, you know, in their own region. And I've done a little bit of research into my own local sheriff, but understanding your sheriff's stance on the Constitution is very, very important.
That's a good point.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you know, your sheriff is the one who upholds the law of the land in your region. And so if you have a sheriff, like, you know, where I'm at, like, cause I've talked to some of my neighbors and like, oh yeah, our sheriff's awesome. You know, he's like pro gun, everything. Which is, you know, I live in a very red county of Ohio, very, very conservative. It's a Second Amendment sanctuary state. You know, like I go outside and I hear like machine guns going off practically all the time. Your neighbors doing target practice. Like, it's awesome. I love it. Right, I'm going to try to build a gun range on my property soon. You know, understanding what your sheriff's stance is, because there's a lot of sheriffs that you know, they're like, look, I swore my oath to the Constitution and I will protect my constituents from a tyrannical government. And there's a lot of sheriffs that are like that, but there's also a lot of sheriffs that are, you know, like George Soros AGs and they're, you know, they've been put in place. And especially as you get into big cities, like when you get into like Columbus, Ohio, for instance, I think the sheriff is a Democrat sheriff and they're for, you know, all the more liberal things. So again, that's a really important thing to look into when you're looking at where you should move to or where you are. It's like, get involved and go meet your sheriff and ask him like point blank, what do you think of the Constitution? Will you uphold the Constitution in the event that our government goes rogue?
Mm-hmm. Well, Seth, we have to take a break for a trailer. And when we get back, I definitely want to show Trump's tweet about Obama. We'll show when we get back from the trailer.
There's a war on children. And its weapon is right in your own home.
In this critical series from Edge of Wonder, we expose the astonishing truth about how children are being programmed and groomed with hidden sexual content and subliminal messages.
Did you know that today's children's programming is full of sex and sexual themes?
From erotic animation in Disney classics to behavior manipulation in modern Pixar, from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network's questionable themes to media, movies, and more. This is a bigger pattern of hidden nudity, sexual innuendos in cartoons, and normalization of pedophilia that can't be ignored.
After this video, you'll see why it's a spiritual battle for our children's morality and why we think parents should have all the facts to make the ultimate choices for their own kids.
This is War on Children.
All right, Lindsay, let's show this tweet. Well, actually, it was from, Dinesh D'Souza tweeted it out, but it was from Trump on Truth Social about this. So Trump is saying, what happened to the 30 million pages of documents taken from the White House to Chicago by Barack Hussein Obama? He refused to give them back. What is going on? This act was strongly at odds with NARA. Will they be breaking into Obama's mansion and Martha's Vineyard? Probably not.
Probably not.
I wonder if that order came from somebody in particular.
I mean, it's just, gosh, it's just like you see over and over again that like it's such a corrupted system. And it's kind of crazy to go through this experience. Like, you know, when I was growing up, I thought politicians were kind of like sleaze bags, and I actually didn't really care. Like I went to a liberal arts school, and I didn't really care about politics. And I thought, well, you know, like they're probably, you know, bad, or they're maybe they take bribes and everything. But it's, you know, like you're going through this process over the past, I mean, maybe the past say 5 years, especially, of really coming to this understanding that a lot of these politicians are criminals. Like, and they're not just criminals, like they're taking bribes. Like they're like mafia, right? They're worse than mafia, right? These are like the mafia crime families, yet they're the ones going on a CNN in like a beautiful suit and smiling and campaigning. It's like, man, like they're just like, we got to figure this out. Like we got to fix this somehow. it's bad.
And you know, I don't want to like stir up the pot here by saying this, but you know, there's a lot of rumors, I'll just say, from being in New York for 12 years about Mario Cuomo. You know, I mean, he passed away now. And because I actually, believe it or not, I was at his funeral because I had to take photos.
Your photographer then.
Yeah. And I actually got photos of Hillary Clinton or both the Clintons walking out. And when it was like, you know, all these people are walking out, you know, and it was just it's interesting looking back on it now to see who was actually there at the funeral. And it's like, you know, and like I said, I'm not, that's a whole other discussion, but you know, that definitely is one of the things going on. It is just, there's a lot of corruption in New York, as we all know. So dude, yeah. And they even like, they renamed the Tappan Zee Bridge after Mario Cuomo, and like nobody in New York is happy about that.
I know, it's just, well, it's like they glorify the villains and they vilify the heroes. You know, it's all backwards. It's all backwards. But what's kind of crazy, it's like, it's one thing to look at the government and be like, yeah, they're corrupt and they're criminals. It's another thing if the government is weaponizing the government agencies to start coming after people, like with what happened with, what was it? Perry, right? Scott Perry from Pennsylvania, right? Yep. Who he's traveling. So here we have an article from the Gateway Pundit, right? So Joe Biden's FBI apprehends GOP rep while traveling with family and seizes his phone one day after the raid on President Trump's home. And in the article here, it says that Perry, in an exclusive statement, told Fox News on Tuesday that while traveling with his family earlier in the day, he was approached by three FBI agents who handed him a warrant and requested he turn over his cell phone. So, like, this guy is a sitting, like, he's a representative, like, he's a sitting politician. And, yeah, like, the fact that the FBI can just walk up and, like, oh, we've got a warrant, give us your phone, it's crazy. I mean, it reminds me of, like, the 610 office in China, like the office of, like, man, you guys can do whatever you want, you know what I mean, persecute Falun Gong, do whatever you want, no rules. Or the Stasi or the brown shirts or the, you know, KGB, like, this is what's happening. It's funny because I think it was I was interviewing Jeff Nyquist one time. He was talking about some of the Russians, and the Russians were like, yeah, the FBI is like the English version of the KGB. Like, they see it very clearly.
Well, I mean, you know, and looking at, like, we'll get into the whole IRS thing, but kind of looking at what the FBI is doing and the IRS, I mean, who are the main people that they're going after? I mean, I really think that probably anybody there at January 6th will be the first people on the list, you know, of doing the taxes. And it's just, it's so ridiculous. I mean, they almost got $1 billion from the lottery. So, like, what else do they need? know. You know, and even Elon Musk has been commenting on it because, you know, because he was saying that with the amount of money that he's making, they're like, they keep a very close eye, I guess, on what he's doing. And so he knows that this, he was making a comment saying basically, like, he knows that this isn't about billionaires, you know, this is really about the middle class.
Well, I think it's also about it's the middle class and the lower class, because they want to go after people they know can't afford to represent themselves, you know, people that can't afford to fight back against them.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, which is true. I mean, look, if your family is living on $40,000 a year and the IRS comes and they're like, hey, we want to audit you and you now owe us $15,000. It's like, well, what do you mean? You $15,000. It's like, you can't afford to go pay, you know, another 10 grand and hopefully to find some attorney, you know, it's like they'll crush you in legal fees. And so
or take your home, which is what happens. Like, you can't pay, then we're taking your home. And I actually heard a story. It was a long time ago, but there was this guy who worked for the IRS, and he said that there was a single woman, a single parent that had two sons or something like that. And she owed like a few thousand dollars to the IRS, and they went to go collect it. And, you know, obviously she didn't have the money, and they literally had to take her home. And the guy was just like, he was so broken over it. Like, he was like, you know, cause they looked on the list. There's like, here's like business people that owe millions of dollars, yet they're getting off because they have the money to pay for it, to not pay the IRS. So then that's why the IRS goes after more of the middle class. And then what's happening is they're taking things away, like their house or whatever it is that they can take. And it was just like, they put this woman with her kids on the street. And, you know, it's just like, and I'm sure this is with 87,000 that they're trying to hire, I'm sure this is going to start happening a lot more. So it makes me really wonder who they're trying to hire. I mean, I don't even know if that many people voted for Biden. So,
well, something I heard recently, which is interesting, is that someone was talking about how there's all these people that are calling for they're calling for the defunding of the FBI. They want to have, especially after this, it's an abuse of power. They want the FBI to be broken up. And so people are speculating that, well, maybe this is all a ploy because they break up the FBI and there's your new force for the IRS. And maybe it's like, maybe they've realized that the FBI has lost its credibility and is no longer trusted by the American people. And so maybe they're going to actually say, okay, you know what? This is an overstep of our power. We're going to dissolve the FBI and everyone gets put right over into the IRS. I mean, who knows?
The new world order force is formed. And actually, they unsealed just a little while ago, they unsealed the documents for Trump's raid.
For his warrant?
The warrant. I'm sorry. Yeah. The warrant for the raid. And it's seven. You can pull this up, Lindsay. It's a 7-page document. The Epoch Times, or one of the first medias to really, if you scroll down in the middle of the article, Lindsay, it's there. That's it. There's like 7 pages there. I personally haven't read through really what this entails, but the agents were granted authority. You can keep showing that, Lindsay, if you want, but it doesn't matter, I guess. The agents were granted authority to seize all physical documents and records, contraband, blah, 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 evidence, fruits of crime, whatever the heck that means, or other items illegally possessed. So that's literally
kind of like everything.
Yeah. Basically anything that they deem could be like evidence, they are welcome to take. In other words, that's what I got from it. That includes documents with classification marks and presidential records that were drafted between January 20th of 2017 and January 20th, 2021, while Trump was still in office. The FBI didn't try to obtain access to search private guests. So any of the private guest rooms weren't searched. It was just the like Trump's personal stuff that I guess that was actually searched. And according to the Epoch Times, they took some different documents of that were labeled top secret in SCI. I don't really know what SCI stands for. Do you know, Seth? I'm not sure. I didn't look that one up. So a couple top secret documents were taken. Four sets of top secret documents were also taken. I guess the SCI, I don't know what that means, but okay. Then, sensitive compartmented information. So that could potentially mean that, okay, let's say like there was an order that was set out by the CIA, for example, right? But that order was top secret to other areas of the CIA. So only certain members of the CIA were able to get that.
Oh, I see. So it's compartmentalized basically.
Yeah. That's my understanding of what that is. And then it says three sets of like secret documents, confidential documents. And then they took some property stuff as well, it looks like. But from what, like the Gateway Pundit had a really good article, and from the spokesperson, which everyone's making fun of, and I don't remember who he was a spokesperson for, in a nutshell, he basically said nothing in like a 5-minute speech, and it sounded like they didn't really get a whole lot, honestly. And then
my concern is actually not what they got, but what they left.
What they left. Oh,
what they planted. This is how they're experts on this. Like I remember I was watching something, I forget where it was, but somebody was describing how the FBI works and how they can plant information and how that's one of the ways that they gain control. Like these. So basically, wow. I think they're giving a specific example of there's like a judge they needed to have control over, and how they basically, there was this group of these agents that were like expert hackers. I forget what the name of the group was called, but how they hacked the son of the judge, or they hacked his laptop and put child pornography on the judge's son's laptop. They came in and they're like, hey, we've got evidence that your son has child pornography and we're going to use this. It's like, who knows what they could have done? They're criminals. Like they could have put any number of stuff. They could have hidden like a dead kid somewhere that like the police find, you know, a week later. Do you know what I mean? Like that's how sick these people are, man.
It's actually very true. It's kind of a funny comment. Maybe it was this simple, but Trump strikes me as more of a secret safe hidden behind the massive painting kind of guy himself. You know, that is pretty funny, actually. But yeah, no, that's a really interesting point and something I didn't think about. But I know that the FBI requested the people at Mar-a-Lago to turn off all the video cameras, and they weren't.
They didn't.
So yeah. So yeah. It sounds like whatever the FBI did or whatever they were doing there was all recorded, and it almost kind of sounds like Trump got word maybe before it happened. But I've read, I'm a little bit confused because one report I read said that because of the raid happened, Trump was supposed to had to be there. But then another one was like, well, no, Trump was in New Jersey. So I don't really quite understand what exactly happened with that. But yeah, but anyway, either way, this is just really super insane. Like, this has never been done before on any level. And Trump had every reason to do this to Clinton. And in fact, everyone kept waiting for it to happen. Like, when are you going to use the FBI or DOJ or whatever, CIA, to investigate Hillary Clinton? But of course, it went through, and then, you know, the judge, it all depends on the judge. You know, this judge.
Well, I mean, those agencies are so controlled.
Yeah.
They're so controlled. I mean, it's frightening. I mean, it's almost as frightening as the IRS's job description that they put out. Honestly, when I first saw this pop up, I thought it was a meme. Like, I thought it was something that someone had actually edited to make it a, like, kind of a funny meme, and it's serious. So, like, actually, Lindsay, can you pull up the new job posting request? So this is crazy. So, major duties, adhere to the highest standards of conduct, especially in maintaining honesty and integrity. It makes sense. Work a minimum of 50 hours per week, which may include irregular hours, and be on call 24/7, including holidays and weekends. Who would want that job? Who would want to be working more than 50 hours a week, always be on call? You don't get holidays off. Like, unless they're paying you like $300,000 a year, like, who would want that job? Right. Here's where it gets interesting though. Maintain a level of fitness necessary to effectively respond to life-threatening situations on the job. Carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. Be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants. Just joking. And other dangerous assignments. It's like that to me, like, that's frightening. It's almost like, hey, do you want to apply to be a brown shirt? It's like, hey, join the Red Guard, right? Like, this is, it's frightening. It's like they're going to be hiring using our taxpayer dollars. It's like, and again, this is what really upsets me, to put it nicely, of like Congress and the white, like the politicians in DC. It's like, where's the backbone? Like, how many politicians are looking at this, even like the liberal ones? How can they look at this and say, yeah, that seems like a good idea? You know?
I mean, anybody at this point who thinks this is a good idea is definitely against like all the traditional American values and doesn't care about anybody, any of the people at all. You know, they're just bought out, sold, or blackmailed or whatever, and they don't care about anything related to us. Now, granted, this was posted on the IRS, but it has been taken down now because, I mean, like, yeah, no, but my question is, okay, I guess I never really understood too much about the IRS. I didn't realize that they could like carry firearms or make arrests. I mean, did you know that, Seth? I mean,
if you would have asked me, I would have thought that the IRS would have been some paper pusher in an office looking over financial records to do audits. Or, you know, like, I didn't know that they had actual agents. Like, I would have thought that if they would have made an arrest, it would have got handed over to some sort of, you know, proper FBI or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what scares me the most is now when you start thinking of like defunding the police and all these things that are going on, you know, and it's like you said earlier, it's like, holy cow, you know, could they just be like, oh, okay, well, you guys don't like the FBI, we'll just dissolve this and bring everybody, Now it's like, oh, well, we'll just get rid of the police force. We'll get rid of the FBI, and then we'll just create a new force, the IRS, whatever, you know, now. And this is like really, really, really scary because, yeah, I can't even comprehend who would want this job. I mean, basically the only people I could see that could work this job would be like military or police.
Exactly.
I mean, you're not going to hire, you know, Joe Schmo, you know,
Billy Bob accountant.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for one, like nobody in the middle class would even want to probably, you know, I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people would probably want to take this job because they know that what they would have to do. You know, you would really have to like be somebody that just hates people.
That's the concern.
You should hate everybody. I mean,
that's the concern is that, you know, though, like a lot of people that are in the military are, you know, like they're fighting for our constitution and to protect our country. There's a lot of bad people that came from military background, that came from police background, et cetera. And this is going to attract those kinds of people because I'm sure they're going to pay really, really well. And they're thinking, eh, it's a job, you know what I mean? And it's like, they're just going to follow the orders and like, you know, like go back into, you know, Soviet Russia and Nazi Germany. And it's just like, people are like, well, you know what? Just taking orders, right? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we gotta play another trailer. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about.
Actually, no, I think we're waiting until 8:30 for the trailer.
Lindsay, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Unless you'd like an extra now, that's up to you.
No. It's okay.
Let's dig into this World Economic Forum stuff because the IRS stuff is a little bit heavy for me, so I'd rather talk about World Economic Forum
actually
the entire world.
Before we get in, Lindsay, can you show this photo, this meme of what 87,000 people look like? I just want to show this because when I saw
please bring it up.
It's pretty mind-blowing, actually, because you're thinking like 80,000, maybe 87,000, a lot of people. But when you put it in this scale, this is 87,000 people. Like, it fills a massive football stadium. And then this meme reads, this stadium at a capacity of 86,000 is not big enough to hold the 87,000 of the new IRS agents coming after you. And
crazy. It's crazy.
It really is. Yeah. So, all right. So what were you saying, Seth?
World Economic Forum, eat the bugs.
Oh, geez.
Klaus Schwab.
Okay, so
do we have a video of this or is it just we have a tweet here?
There's a tweet about this. So disclosed.tv, they put this out and their tweet is Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum proposes to automate censorship of hate speech and disinformation with AI fed by subject matter experts. And that's in quotes. So Lindsay, you want to pull up this article or the tweet or one of the two? Actually click on the link. Before you do, this of what they tweeted out is in this article. So it's an intelligence fueled approach to content moderation. And in a nutshell, what this is setting up is saying like, we need more sophisticated AI that would then go through your social media accounts, probably your emails, everything else that you have, and anything that it deemed would, you know, that could be considered hate speech or disinformation, would then be flagged and reported. And, you know, this scares me because, of course, you know, China has their social credit system. And they could be implementing that here. Now, pull up that article. So this is the article on the World Economic Forum, the solution to online abuse, AI plus human intelligence. Scroll down a little bit, Lindsay. Seth, you got to see this. So
what a weird image.
Yeah, it's this article is just such a weird article, but the beginning of this states, readers, please, no, yeah, stop there. Readers, please be aware that this article has been shared on websites that routinely misrepresent content and spread misinformation. We ask you to the following. Basically, it's saying, please read this on your own. And then it's like, this is just an opinion piece. And it's like, I mean, that's basically what it's saying in this. But it's like, okay, you will publish this as an opinion piece, but it's still on your World Economic Forum. So in a nutshell, that's basically what this article is essentially saying. And to me, because that the World Economic Forum published on the website shows that they probably are in support of this, especially since recently the UN, you know, came out saying that they want to crack down on the conspiracy theory about the world elite, global elite controlling everything. And the UN is going to do something about it.
Ben, have you ever talked about that before on your show?
A little bit, yeah. So anyway, to me, this is really scary because, you know, I think this kind of, I want to hear your opinion too, Seth, but I think this kind of ties in. It seems like all this stuff is connected and we have it all going on simultaneously. We have the WEF coming out saying all this crazy stuff, you know, you'll own nothing and be happy. And then we have the IRS forming the new world American police or whatever you want to say. Then we have, you know, this whole thing that happened with Trump. And I do worry that all of this could be a precursor to something bigger, you know, something that who they deem is like the threat. And that's kind of when you, sorry, Seth, I don't mean to keep talking, but
no, it's great.
Have you,
I've got my rant times.
Okay. Okay.
You deserve your rant times.
Because like when you look at the, you know, the FBI, when the FBI was technically kind of around in the early 1900s, it wasn't really until the First World War that Hoover started becoming involved. And he became like right after the First World War, he became the director of the FBI. And then it started forming, but a lot of Congress members were worried about the creation of the FBI because they felt like one, they were getting too much power. It was like, we could potentially hand over too much power to one organization that its duties are to monitor what's happening in the US. Now, granted, at the time, they were monitoring everybody because they were looking for the red surge is what they called it, like the communists, you know, within the US. But then it's like, yeah, okay, that could be true. But then it also gave them reason to spy on almost everybody else because it's like, well, we don't know who's who. So they had in 1921, they had 450,000 files of Americans. And that's a lot. I mean, that's like 1921. So we don't even have computers at that time. You know, like, I mean, I don't even know how they were even able to do this. So I think that this whole creation definitely has a lot to be concerned about. So Seth, I'll have you go on with this. Like, what are your thoughts about everything that's going on? You know, again, the World Economic Forum, all these alphabet agencies, in other words, everything, the these agencies that are three letters.
Three letter agencies. Yeah. I mean, to me, it points to that they're gearing up to try to bring in their global like tyranny system. I mean, it's like, that's where we're at, you know, and if you go back, you look at COVID, you look at the lockdowns, you look at the mandates, like everything adds up, like everything. It's like we are entering into the period of their great reset, right? Like, you know, yeah. I had Andy Schechman on, you know, a financial expert on Thursday. And it's like the dollar is like teetering so close to collapse. And like, it's not just the dollar, it's our food systems. It's our, like the security in our country, like everything. It's like, we're reaching a boiling point. We're reaching an absolute boiling point around the world. And that's what they want. Like they're trying to drive us into this place where everything kind of implodes all at once, so they can then bring their system in. But what's crazy is that, and I was listening to Trevor Loudon recently, you know, Trevor Loudon. Mm-hmm.
Sure,
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
So I'll be interviewing him on Thursday this week. Like, I'm still finalizing it, but it looks like I'll be having on Trevor Loudon, which is very exciting for me, because he's one of the people I'm like, this guy knows his stuff. But what's crazy with all of this, and this is the big, big point, is if you look at the Biden administration, they're a tool of the globalists. They're a tool of the CCP, right? You know, whether it's Build Back Better, whether it's, you know, Smoke Crack Better, or whatever it is, you know, they're a tool of the globalists. They're a tool. And the globalists, in a lot of ways, are rooted right in with the communists. And so, you know, Trevor Loudon was saying something recently. He was saying, look, like the CCP has such control over these organizations that what he said, like almost to a T, is that if the CCP falls, the World Economic Forum will fall.
Oh, interesting.
Right. And so, yeah. And this is probably what I want to get into with him is all these dynamics, because we know that the power the CCP has amassed, and everyone wants to say, wow, it's the globalists, it's the Rothschilds. It's like, we have this, there's multiple power dynamics playing out, but it's like, they're all weakened at the state. Like, cause like what, okay. It's like, we're in a battle right now, but we're at the very end, tail end of the battle. And this has been a long fight of like good versus evil, freedom, you know, loving people versus, you know, the tyrannical people, the sociopaths. Like in any battle, as you get towards the end, both sides are weakened, right? Mm-hmm. And they've had the upper hand. They've been really kind of laying it on us, but their tools, their weapons are weakening. Their propaganda tools and everything are weakening. And so if you tie that, if you look at the CCP then, and you look how weak the CCP is, because the CCP truly is in a very, very weakened state. Like their economy is on the verge of absolute collapse. The Tuaidong movement. And it's funny because, you know, Ben, you know, you and I both have been, you know, following the quit the CCP movement for quite some time. Right. And I remember thinking like, okay, you know, let's just say that, you know, 5 years ago, there had been 200 million people that had quit the CCP. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's 400 million that have quit the CCP. And I'm thinking, yeah, like, what does that, like, yeah, what does that mean? Right. Like, how does that cause a tyrannical government to collapse? Right. What's that look like? I mean, it's always thought, okay, it's great. This many people have separated themselves from communism. And these are the Chinese people that have come out publicly and said, I no longer affiliate with the CCP. But what it means is that, this is what I've really pieced together lately, is that for a tyrannical regime to be successful, it has to control the minds of its own people. And so as the CCP especially is gearing up for this final phase of global war, like, because all this is being orchestrated, not necessarily all by the CCP, but through these globalist organizations, through the CCP, et cetera, as they're gearing up with this, like they're in a very weakened state. Like, you know, and you can see it. Like, how many movies have you seen where there's a war happening? And it's like they're getting ready for the final battle, but they're already really, really weak. And they're trying to pick themselves up to like make the last stand to try to like win the war. Like, that's where the CCP is at. But mm-hmm. like they're like if and this is where it all comes full circle. If almost half a billion of their own people, and actually, Lindsay, if you don't mind, if you can bring up the Quit the CCP website, I forget the exact
Tuaidong.
Is it Tuaidong.org or
.org? I think
something like that. You know, so we've now crossed over 400 million people, the Chinese people that have renounced the CCP, and so what that means is that, like, yeah, there you go, yeah, 400,466,000. So wow. What that okay. means is that as the CCP starts making these moves, like whether it's deploying troops into Taiwan towards America, everything, if they've already lost the confidence, they've lost the control of almost half a billion people, right? That's about, you know, this 400 million people is what, roughly a quarter of their nation of people. And that's just the people that have actually publicly come out and said this.
Yep.
They are in such a precarious place because these people all want the CCP to end.
Yeah.
And so like, that's like, so when things get like, it doesn't matter how strong the Chinese military is. It doesn't matter how strong their censorship is, how much power the communists have there. If half a billion of their own people take to the streets, that's what causes governments like this to collapse. And so that's where we're at. Like, I think that like, this is going to be the most, like, China is the most important place the whole world should be focusing on right now, because everything goes back to there. And when the CCP collapses, which will happen, we're going to see a collapse of all of these globalist systems that we're so frightened by right now. It will all, it'll be a house of cards all coming down. And that gives me a lot of hope, actually.
That's a really interesting thought, Seth. I mean, I kind of, you know, I know that the CCP is like, if it falls, that's really the first domino. You know, I've kind of explained that before too, where everything else will kind of follow. But I didn't really think about it in terms of the WEF and things like that. Because it's kind of, you know, one of the things that like Rob and I really talk about is that the CCP is kind of like the Frankenstein. It's like Frankenstein's monster, you know?
The deep state created it to kind of pilot communism, but now it's like, it's grown way out of control.
Exactly. Where it's just taken over everything now. And if they end it, they end themselves. If they keep supporting it, then it's like they'll take over.
It has too much power.
Yeah. So it's like, I think they're all kind of in this weird situation, which is why we're starting to see people like George Soros, of all people, kind of coming out against China. And we're seeing that more and more. And, you know, Jack Dorsey on Twitter, I was shocked. Yeah. Put up this tweet. So this is a tweet that Jack Dorsey put out in the CCP. And he was talking about how, like, from this reporter from CNN talking about what's going on in China and all this stuff, and how, you know, but she's just talking about it, like a reporting on it. And he's just like, and how bad the surveillance is getting. And he's like, and the CCP. And so I think this is really big, because recently, I think it was Roger Waters from Pink Floyd, he came out and was saying all this negative stuff about Taiwan. And he was like, oh no, we you know, Taiwan, all these people, they need to be controlled by China. That's like, literally he's saying that. I was like dumbfounded. And I guess like there's this term, this Chinese term, like, I don't know what it is in Chinese, but it means little pink. And this is like this term that they call like people online that support the party, they call them like little pinks or something like that. So everyone was referring to Pink Floyd as now like little Pink Floyd, and it was like this pun and everything. But I was like I don't really get the joke there because of that. But anyway, it's just really weird, because I think like same thing, you know, this kind of ties back to the Trump raid in a weird way, because one, I think we're going to start seeing people, a very big division happening where people are going to state where they're going to have to state where they stand with this. Like, do they support what happened with the Trump raid? And if they do, most likely then they support the CCP and they're against Taiwan and like all these things that are going on, you know? And I think that really clearly we're going to start seeing things. And, you know, when to kind of like say to the people that, oh, Beijing or China's too big to fall, everyone thought that about Germany, you know,
and Rome.
Yeah. And Rome,
every civilization.
It's even a better point with Rome, right? Like, no. And then it's like, the answer is like, nothing is too big to fall. You know, if God wants something to fall, you can't keep it up no matter what, you know, and it's like, well, no matter what happens.
And you know, the point that you're also making, which, and this is why I think is like such a critical point, is that if you take a step back. I'm getting an audio kickback from, maybe, is that from you or Lindsay? For some reason, Ben, your audio is out of sync and I'm hearing myself.
You are?
Yeah.
Weird.
Fixed it. Nope, not yet. Not yet.
Maybe that means it's a perfect time for a trailer break while Ben fixes his audio.
All right.
I don't know.
150 years in the making. The ultimate evil specter. Lies, hatred, and struggle remains destroyed. The Deep State's cult, communism. On today's Edge of Wonder, we've invited a very special guest for an exclusive interview. You might have seen her work talking about China and exposing the Chinese Communist Party. She's been arrested and sent to labor camps multiple times, but she still fights for what she believes in. And now she's a human rights activist speaking for truth and freedom.
Mr. Beaver for audio equipment, $100. Yeah,
thank you for that, Mr. Beaver.
Do you still hear that?
Sounds like it's good now.
Okay, cool.
Testing. Yep.
Okay. So if it's not, let me know.
Yeah. So if there's a point, is that it's like if you look at where we're at in history, like I know you and I have had so many conversations about this, but it's like I believe that we are in some sort of final battle between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And we are at a time in history where people are positioning themselves on a soul level, right? They're really kind of establishing like they're almost like they're choosing now the fate of their souls based upon how they act in this lifetime, right now. And if you look at that, you look, okay, so what is good and what is evil? It's like the CCP, as you trace it all back, is like the root of so much evil. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost as if like the test right now, as this is like exactly what you're saying, Ben, is that as this comes more into the public, it's like people, the test is going to be, are you for or against the CCP, right? Like we have these different corporations coming out and they're making their statement, right? Like whether it's Apple, who's, you know, reportedly Apple warned suppliers not to use made in Taiwan labels on products to avoid angering China.
Oh, right? My gosh, it's so frustrating.
And then you have Snickers, right? The maker of Snickers, Mars Wrigley, who apologizes to China for suggesting Taiwan as a country. So it's like if Satan has really rooted himself in communism, and which I absolutely believe, it's like communism is like Satan's political party. And communism, the head of communism in China is the CCP, the most powerful communist nation in the world. Then it's like by aligning yourself with the CCP, I think in a lot of ways you're really choosing the fate of your soul, which makes me think about like what's happened to the souls of those 400 million people that have come out publicly and said, I do not align myself with the CCP, because the CCP makes people take a blood oath. Like you take an oath, like a blood oath to the CCP when you join its organizations. And so we're like, it's just like, man, these are some crazy times that we're living in. But I think that as like the evil gets more intense, that we're going to see like insane stuff happening. But I think we're going to see miracles as well, because mm-hmm. I think that as the evil strengthens its position in this world, we're going to see more and more of the divine and of God showing himself in this world as well. It's crazy times to live in for sure.
Yeah, no, I really agree with what you're saying. And oh my God, there's so, sorry, I just completely lost my train of thought. I had like something really, I should have wrote it down. Darn it. Cause I was like, yeah, I want to say this. And then it just slipped my mind. I started thinking about the Apple product and everything. Cause I was like, but anyway, maybe I'll think about it here in a second, because we were talking about like how, oh, we're talking about communism. Oh yeah, the blood oath. That's what made me think about it. Sorry. I just have so many things in my mind right now. I think that to kind of explain what that means, because you know, a lot of people in America, it's like we don't understand that, right? Like we pledge allegiance to the flag or we join the military and that's it, right? But in China, it's so different, because when you take this blood oath, as Seth is saying, you literally, it's like you're literally signing your soul to the party. It's because there's no God according to the party. right? It's all atheism. So the party is God. It's like, you give your soul to us and we are the ones that protect you. We feed you. We do all these things for you. And so it's like, if you're signing your soul to someone or something like that, I mean, in a sense, it's like, you could say it's the devil in disguise, right? So it's like, it's just going to take this stuff and just that's it. So it's like, if you die and you've signed your soul to something like the CCP, there could be some conflicts there, unfortunately, when you die. I mean, that's, you know, so it's like, to me, this is also a very spiritual thing of these people. It's not just like a physical thing too, like, oh, I'm going to sign this and I'm renouncing my faith and my vow from the party, because you're literally making a vow. It's like these people are making a vow, you know? And I think that, I mean, over here, we don't really have that issue, right? Because we're not part of necessarily China and the party and whatnot. But I think that communism is anti-God and anti-religion. And I think that, you know, anybody that follows communism, they're kind of walking a dangerous path.
It's almost like the hammer and sickle is the mark of the beast. You know, a lot of people are saying that, oh, it's the vaccine, but I don't really buy that. So I think that a lot of people got it. Like, a lot of good people got the vaccine.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
It's like that, you know, so it's like, it's much deeper than that. I think to me, it's like communism. Do you support communism? Do you support the Chinese Communist Party?
Right? And to give a history on the red flag, the reason why, you know, because we kind of talked about this on our previous shows, but China previously, their flag had a dragon on it and it was like blue and yellow, I think. And then Mao changed it. And the reason why he made it red was because that way you couldn't tell how much blood was on it when people were carrying it. And so literally they made it red. And that's why it's sometimes referred to as like the blood red flag, because it's like killing, and it just stands for, you know, communism basically.
Yeah. So, well, Prep Daddy Prep nailed it with his comment, and thank you for the donation. He said, communism in the CCP was started by the Yale Skull and Crossbones with Mao and Kissinger. The CCP is the deep state. They both make you sell your soul through ritual to join. It's all connected. Like, yeah.
I mean, and you know, on our show, we talk about rituals a lot, right? And if the founders of the CCP, there's so many satanic ties that I truly believe that they set this up on purpose as being a satanic cult, really, you could say.
Even the hammer and sickle is like, it looks like Saturn.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, I know.
I know you guys covered that.
It's the symbol for Saturn, and then Saturn represents Satan, and then Kronos, and Kronos eating his son, and then it's all this crazy stuff, right? I mean, we have a lot of episodes about that. But
so, Ben, it's 8:43 now, and we're going to be leaving Rumble, because we're going to be getting into the dig deep. And so, folks, if you're watching us on Rumble, I hope that you've enjoyed this, but it's going to get even crazier because we have some really wild dig deep questions that we're going to be digging into.
Hey, so we got a lot.
If you want to join us over on Rise TV for not only the dig deep, but for the weirder news segment, which is going to be pretty mind blowing, please consider joining us over on Rise TV. It's $9.99 a month, and you're supporting us on doing this. You know, this is in an information war. This is how we're fighting. So if you want to support us in that fight, you know, we dedicated our lives to this mission. And so if you want to support us, come on over, join Rise TV. And if not, it's okay. You can watch on Rumble. We're going to still put out a lot of content on there. But if you have that extra money every month, you want to put it towards a really good cause and get some awesome content and some great Patriot community in the meantime, Rise TV is the place to be. There's a new jingle. All right. Okay, so we can go. Let's go ahead and cut the feed to Rumble. So Ben, let's go and start the dig deep. So Lindsay, you can do the what's that, Ben?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.